Let's read together Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 27. Now, in these verses, we have the account of Israel's experiences at Marah and Elim, the first two stops in their wilderness travels after the crossing of the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 15, beginning at verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them. And said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the waters. Let's begin our study of this portion of Exodus chapter 15 with some background notes. In Exodus chapter 14, we had the great miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. And in the first half of Exodus 15, we had the Song of Moses, in which the children of Israel sang in celebration of God's great victory over Pharaoh and the Egyptian army, and in celebration of his great deliverance of his people Israel. Now in this last section of Exodus chapter 15, we have the first two stops of the children of Israel in their travels after the crossing of the Red Sea, namely the sojourns at Marah and Elim. On the east side of the Gulf of Suez, there are traditional sites for Marah and Elim. At the traditional site of Marah, the waters are still notoriously bitter or brackish. And at the traditional site of Elim, there is still good water and many trees. Now, we can't be dogmatically sure that these are the actual sites, but there is a pretty good line of tradition behind both of them. In fact, these traditional sites of Marah and Elim support the case for the crossing of the Red Sea through the north end of the Gulf of Suez, and not through the Gulf of Aqaba or at the Straits of Tehran. In verse 26, the Lord said to the children of Israel, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Now, many of you are aware of a very good and interesting book that's been around for a number of years entitled None of These Diseases. In this book, the author, Dr. S.I. McMillan, shows how God built sanitary measures into his laws for the children of Israel. In other words, if they would follow the laws concerning what was clean and what was unclean, and the laws concerning defilement, and the laws concerning purification, they would be kept from the diseases of Egypt, right? They would be kept from germs and contamination and other unsanitary situations which bring on disease. Dr. McMillan shows how many of these laws are still good today as sanitary measures. Let me read a few paragraphs from None of These Diseases. Quote, "When Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, however, God made a most remarkable covenant with the new nation. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." Exodus 15, verse 26. None of these diseases. What a promise! Had not the Egyptians and Israelites been afflicted with epidemics for ages? The remedies in their medical books had accomplished practically nothing. Often the, quote, cure was worse than the disease. Yet here the Lord made a fantastic promise to free the Israelites from epidemics of the Egyptian diseases. God proceeded to give Moses a number of commandments, which form part of our Bible today. Because these medical directions were altogether different from those in the ancient Egyptian medical books. God surely was not copying from the medical authorities of the day. Would Moses, trained in the royal postgraduate universities, have enough faith to accept the divine innovations without adding some of the things he had been taught? From the record, we discover that Moses had so much faith in God's regulations that he did not incorporate a single current medical misconception into the inspired instructions. If Moses had yielded to a natural inclination to add even a little of his modern university training, we would be reading such prescriptions as, quote, the heel of an Abyssinian greyhound, or, quote, the tooth of a donkey crushed in honey. Not to mention the drugs that the leading physicians were compounding out of the bacteria-laden drug of dogs, cats, and flies. The divine instructions were not only devoid of harmful practices, but had many detailed positive recommendations. End of quote. God's laws were not meant to be a burden for the people, but were for the good of the people in every way, including their health and well-being. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this portion of Exodus chapter 15. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, God allows the bitter waters of Marah to test his people. God allows the bitter waters of Marah to test his people. We've already mentioned that the entire journey of the children of Israel from Egypt to Canaan is a spiritual picture of the Christian life. So every event in the life of the children of Israel, as they traveled from Egypt to Canaan, illustrates some aspect of the Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says, "Now all these things happened to them." That is, all of these experiences and events that happened to the children of Israel in their journey from Egypt to Canaan are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. In fact, it says all of these things happen to them as examples or types. That's the Greek word that's used there, types. The bitter waters of Marah certainly represent the bitter experiences of life that God allows us to go through. How many of you would agree that there are bitter experiences in life, even in the Christian life? Now, why does God allow this? Why isn't the Christian life just one long happy experience? Well, the end of verse 25 gives us one reason. There he tested them. God allows the bitter waters of Marah to test his people. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says that the genuineness or proof of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes, even though it is tested by fire. Why? Look at the rest of the verse. Because it results in the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:7. So we should not complain as Israel did when we experienced the bitter waters of life, but recognize that God, in his perfect and sovereign ways, has allowed these bitter waters for some reason, and it may be as a test of our faith. Now notice the way in which the waters were made sweet. The Lord showed Moses a tree to throw into the water, and the waters were made sweet. Now is this a miracle, or did this particular variety of tree have some chemical in its makeup that was just the right ingredient to react with and counter the bitterness of the waters? Well, I tend to think that this was a miracle. In any case, the main point here is that this remedy is also part of the spiritual picture that we have here. The tree represents the cross of Christ. When we bring the truth of the cross of Christ into the bitter experience of life, only then are the waters made sweet as we draw close to the Lord. It's only as we identify with Christ in his death and resurrection that we really begin to live in close fellowship with the Lord. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." Philippians 3:10. When we are in close fellowship with the Lord in our walk of faith, the bitter waters can become sweet. But we must die to self, and that involves the cross of Christ. As we read in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Let me ask you this morning, are you experiencing bitter waters in life right now? Have you applied the cross of Christ and died to self? God allows the bitter waters of Marah to test us. Doctrinal point number two. God provides the pure waters of Elim to refresh his people. God provides the pure waters of Elim to refresh his people. Verse 27, once again. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the waters. Praise the Lord, God not only allows the Marahs, but he provides the Elims as well. Aren't you glad? We love the Elim experiences of the Christian life, and God provides them to refresh us. These are the mountaintop experiences of the Christian life that we speak of. Many times a spiritual retreat, or a Christian camp experience, or a ministry conference can be an Elim in our lives. As Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." Illustration. You know, I remember a time in my Christian life when I felt like I was facing ministry burnout. Believe me, it happens. But the Lord in his grace brought me to an Elim. He made me lie down in green pastures, and he led me beside still waters. God provides the pure waters of Elim to refresh his people. Notice in the spiritual picture here that the application of the cross to the bitter waters of Marah leads to the rest of Elim. God provides the pure waters of Elim to refresh his people. Practical application. Don't take this promise of healing too far. Don't take this promise of healing too far. At the end of verse 26, the Lord said, "For I am the Lord who heals you." Here God reveals himself as Jehovah Rophe. That is the Lord who heals. It is one of God's names. So here is a promise from God to his people Israel that he would keep them from disease if they would trust him and follow him. Now, for us as Christians, to pull this promise to Israel out of its context and claim here a promise of physical healing of every disease and sickness for ourselves would be bad hermeneutics. We know the Lord can heal, and it's not wrong to pray for healing. And we know that in our resurrected bodies there will be no disease or sickness. But for the Christian to claim the promise of physical healing from sickness and disease now, on the basis of Exodus 15:26, would be pulling this scripture out of context. Don't take this promise of healing too far.